There we go. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So, good morning. I'm going to call this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency's Advisory Planning Commission to order. Today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. It's right at 9:30, and we are here in our virtual webinar again, our virtual roundtable. The first item on the agenda is to call the roll. So, Maria, could you please do that for us?
Mr. Allings?
Present.
Mr. Booth? Mr. Calicrate? Ms. Carr?
Here.
Mr. Drake? Mr. Drew?
Good morning.
Mr. Ferry?
Here.
Mr. Grego? Mr. Grego? Mr. Gabon? Mr. Hill?
Good morning.
Ms. Jacobson?
Here.
Mr. Letton? Mr. Plemmel?
Here.
Mr. Hitchcock? Mr. Hitchcock? Okay, I know John was on, so circle back. Ms. Stoller?
Here.
Mr. Teixeira?
Good morning.
Mr. Smokey? Mr. Young?
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, let me just quick count here. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. That's good news.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. This is Tim Calicrate. I apologize for being late. I just wanted to make sure that I was recorded as being present.
Is John Hitchcock? Unfortunately, I was muted.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Hitchcock, and thank you, Mr. Calicrate.
Now we are well into the quorum bucket, so that's good. All right, great. Thank you all for joining this morning. Really appreciate it. I'm going to go over the meeting rules for the day, mostly for the public here. So to observe the meeting, please go to trpa.org. Under the announcements header, click on Listen Live Advisory Planning Commission Meeting, August 12th, 2020. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on GoToWebinar. To address APC members directly with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the control panel of the GoToWebinar, which you should see under the red microphone in the upper right of your screen. At the appropriate time for public comments, please raise your hand by clicking on the hand icon, and a TRPA staff member will unmute you to indicate that you can begin your public comment. Please state your name at the beginning of your comments. And if you've requested a reasonable accommodation from TRPA and have been provided a unique PIN number for dial-in, you will be unmuted at the time you requested to make your public comments. To APC members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you're online, or speak up if you are calling in on the phone. And I need to remind you that you cannot use the chat functions for sidebar conversations. Also, due to the limited amount of video feeds available, please keep your cameras turned off unless you are speaking. If you'd like to turn that on when you're speaking, that is fine. And finally, everyone, please remember to mute your microphone unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Okay. Item two, let's go to approval of the agenda. Staff, do we have any changes to our agenda today?
No, Mr. Chairman, no changes.
Thank you, John. That's great. So we will deem the agenda approved as posted for the record. I'm going to go on to item three for public interest comments. If any member of the public wishes to address the Advisory Planning Commission, please use the hand raising function now and you will be unmuted by a TRPA staff member. All public comments should be as brief and concise as possible so that all who wish to participate can. I do have the discretion to set time limits. We're seeking for no public comment to exceed 3 minutes. Let's see, written comments received APC members. I did not see any for this meeting. Please note the Advisory Planning Commission is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on the agenda. So, do we have anyone from the public wishing to make a public comment now?
Mr. Chair, we do not have any hands raised to make public comment at this time.
Thank you very much. Moving right along to item 4, our disposition of minutes. We do have a set of minutes in our packet from our August 12th, 2020 meeting. Do any APC members have questions or comments on the minutes?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Just that Maria does an outstanding job with the minutes, and these were some of the most technical, particularly the Tahoe Keys weed stuff, most technical ever, when a lot of technical stuff. So I just wanted to commend her. I do want to note that, and not to be picky, but on page 15, Mr. Carolyn's name is spelled differently. His last name is spelled differently there. So I know Maria will correct that, but an outstanding job with a lot of very technical material. Thank you.
Absolutely agree. Thank you, Steve. Any other APC members?
I'll make a motion to approve with that one change, Mr. Chairman, if that's acceptable.
That sounds great, Steve. Thank you.
I'll second, Ms. Jennifer Carr.
Thank you, Jennifer. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any objections or any abstentions?
This is Crystal Jacobson. I'm going to abstain since I was not at the meeting.
Thank you, Crystal. Excellent. That wraps up item 4. Now we will move into the meat of our agenda, onto item 5, which are our planning matters. Let's go to item 5A, which is a climate resiliency initiative briefing. And the TRPA staff report can be found on page 1 of your packet after the August 12th minutes. I'm going to turn this over to Devin Middlebrook to present on this item. Go ahead, Devin.
Mr. Chairman, can I interrupt Devin just to do a little embarrassment of him?
You may. Go for it, John.
Those of you who don't know, Devin's last official day with TRPA was last Friday. This is a cameo appearance because he's now, I think it's chief administrator for the Washoe Tribe of California, Nevada. So if we don't have a member of the APC from that tribe at the next month meeting, we know who to call, Devin. But seriously, Devin will be missed. We appreciate him coming back for this presentation and know that we will see him around the basin making a lot of positive difference in a lot of different ways. We wish him the best and thank him for all of his service to TRPA and APC and the community. So thanks, Devin. With that, I'll leave you alone and let you make your presentation.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Congratulations, Devin.
Thanks, Brendan. It's been great working with this Planning Commission for my last 6 years here at TRPA. As I guess for the record, Devin Middlebrook, Sustainability Program Manager, here to update the APC on the Climate Resiliency Strategic Initiative and really talk about our climate crisis. Next slide. Usually when I'm here talking about climate change, I have some fancy models and projections and computer generated images of what our climate might look like in the next 80 to 100 years. Unfortunately, what we've seen this summer, those changes are here now. We're all too familiar with the massive amount of smoke that's been in our region due to all the wildfires and the unprecedented closure of all of our national forest earlier this year. Next slide. We're also seeing changes in precipitation patterns bring more rain and winter flooding. This is some of the damage that was done after the big winters we had the last few years to the Altamira Conservancy property. Next slide. causing them to spend a lot of money and effort to do bank stabilization for that project. Again, these are high lake level and impacts to the shoreline are things we were talking about happening 50 years from now, but they're happening today. And then on the flip side, next slide. We also have from our drought, this is from 2015, just down the beach from Altamira, where you had the shoreline out hundreds of yards, and that impacted not only nearshore water quality, but public access to the lake. Next slide. When we're talking about climate change, we're really looking at those impacts and talking about it in our actions to address climate change in three buckets. Mitigation, which is reducing our greenhouse gas emissions to reduce the impacts of climate change. Adaptation, which is adjusting how we operate and live to adapt to those changes that we know are coming to try to avoid them. And then resilience, when those impacts such as wildfire smoke happen and we can't adapt to them, really how resilient is our community in absorbing those impacts and moving forward and recovering from them. Next slide. Climate change and climate action really is seen at from a top to bottom level, starting at the international level with the United Nations. Then looking at the states for the first time, the state of Nevada is tackling climate change head on. And I would say almost as aggressively as California has been. The state of Nevada's climate initiative launched this year, and they will be coming out with a statewide climate strategy in December of this year. At a regional level in 2014, the TRPA and its partners created the Sustainability Action Plan and Lake Tahoe Sustainable Communities Program, which won a national APA award for climate planning. More recently, the Conservancy, along with partners, including TRPA, have been working on an updated vulnerability assessment for the basin and adaptation actions that are currently ongoing. Then at a local level, Placer County recently adopted a sustainability plan that conforms with California SB 374-743. I'm getting those mixed up. The city of South Lake Tahoe currently has a draft climate action plan that is out for public review and comment, and we'll be adopting that later this year. Next slide. Earlier this year as well, the TRPA Governing Board adopted an updated work program and strategic plan. Of that, the strategic initiatives, climate change and sustainability or climate resiliency, which I'm talking about today, is really interconnected and ties together the rest of those initiatives. When we look at transportation and sustainable recreation, one of the big measures of us reducing our greenhouse gases in the upcoming regional transportation plan is the electrification of vehicles. When we look at housing, having housing near town centers such as Sugar Pine Village and the Y or Domus up in Kings Beach, those create more walkable communities and reduce vehicle trips. When we're talking about our environmental improvement program, obviously I keep hitting on wildfire, but something like a project like Tahoe West has taken future climate scenarios into consideration when planning their forest fuel treatments. And then with our thresholds and monitoring, everything climate touches is affecting all of our thresholds to one degree or another. And you can see through the work of the VMT threshold that staff has been working on, really trying to update those thresholds to reflect the new science around climate and emissions. Next slide. When we look at emissions across the states and in the basin, we really see that those top emissions are transportation and electricity, and then heating and industry, depending on where you are. But really, when you look at it, transportation and electricity are those main sources of greenhouse gases in the region. Next slide. And that is really where TRPA the Basin Partnership has their entry point into addressing climate change. Transportation, we address through our regional transportation plan. Electricity is what we're using in our buildings, and our regional plan really promotes sustainable redevelopment in town centers. And when we do redevelop, you see buildings like the Turk in Incline Village, which is LEED certified. That's using a lot less electricity than older buildings. So those land use changes and moving things into town centers has energy efficiency upgrades. Our bi-state compact there all the way on the left, really since the beginning, while it doesn't call out climate change implicitly it is tied through everything. And then that implementation on the ground in our natural resources through the environmental improvement program. Next slide. When we're thinking about climate change, we also have to think in a new planning context. Our traditional approaches of looking at just the Tahoe Basin and just what's in our regulatory authority isn't working anymore. We know that greenhouse gas emissions and climate change is a global problem, but has local solutions. Our water resources are connected not only among us in the basin, but also those that are downstream in Reno and the Truckee River Basin. And then our transportation challenges. I know in the regional transportation plan, we highlight a lot the mega region and those interregional trips that have impacts on our transportation system, but we don't necessarily have direct regulatory authority over. So it really does take, going beyond our normal planning boundaries and using new planning techniques, including increasing resiliency in mountain communities. We do a lot of work with the town of Truckee and Mammoth Lakes and really look at that Sierra from north to south, and then also looking east to west, strengthening that urban-rural connections with Reno, Sacramento, the Bay Area. Next slide. So the bi-state, this climate resiliency strategy, as you saw on the slide earlier, where I listed all of the different international, state, local plans on climate, they were top down and really just kind of, in their own silos. The goal of this initiative is to update the Sustainability Action Plan into a bi-state climate strategy that takes all of these pieces and pulls them together and in a comprehensive way, applies them to the Lake Tahoe Basin. So we can take the initiatives and goals of both the state of California and Nevada in terms of reducing carbon emissions, increasing renewable electricity generation, and take those to the unique atmosphere of Tahoe. Obviously, we're not going to build giant solar farms in the basin, but we can work with our partners to achieve those goals and then also support those more basin-specific plans that have come out of the Conservancy, Placer County, and the city of South Lake Tahoe, and allow those to talk up and back down to the state's goals and strategies. Next slide. To do this, the first step is really identifying the gaps. We need to conduct a gap analysis. We have a lot of actions in climate planning going on now. There's a lot of people doing great things, but where are those gaps? We can look at those by examining those statewide plans. Really excited to be participating in the stakeholder group, one of the stakeholder groups for the Nevada Climate Strategy. That'll be coming out later this year. Vulnerability assessments, such as the one the Conservancy completed, and California completes climate assessments on a regular basis, the Conservancy Adaptation Portfolio, and then global best practices. There's some cutting edge climate action, even coming out of the state of California, such as San Diego, San Francisco, LA, that we can really look to and learn from. And then identifying key information gaps and filling those gaps. TRPA is currently leading a greenhouse gas inventory update for the Tahoe Basin. The unique thing about this is for the first time, we'll be doing a comprehensive calculation of how much carbon is currently being stored in our forests and wetlands. That'll give us a better picture of our actual carbon budget. The Desert Research Institute and Mike Dettinger is working on some sub-watershed hydro simulations, scaling down climate models from a basin level and really looking at each one of our 63 streams and how each one of those is impacted differently by changes in precipitation and climate change. And we've submitted a letter of interest to the Bureau of Reclamation to do an additional study around monitoring high lake level, modeling high lake level scenarios during winter flooding events. So from this, we really want to identify where are the information, action, and implementation gaps for Tahoe, and then work with partners and bring the partnership together to fill those gaps. Next slide. I have stolen this slide from a presentation Dr. Kristen Abert, the Nevada Climate Coordinator, gave to the Nevada Oversight Committee earlier this year. And it really just highlights how you go about climate adaptation and resilience planning and how everything really is connected. And that you really have, I think, one of those things you want to highlight, I want to highlight on this side is those adaptation actions of resist, resilience, response, and realignment. And really looking at the current projection and where we're at, we're going to have to put a lot of our effort around that response and realignment in adapting to climate change. Next slide. And then what does our Tahoe climate resiliency strategy look like? Again, you take all of those gaps, existing climate actions and state plans, you put those into the special Tahoe melting pot, do what we do and make it unique to ours and make it implementable to our basin, and come up with prioritized actions that address infrastructure, development, and resource management in light of climate change. Next slide. And then obviously we want to monitor our success. In 2014, along with the Sustainability Action Plan, there was a sustainability dashboard created that highlights key metrics within environment, community, and economy, that triple bottom line. And we're really, as we move forward, we want to take and update this to be more relevant, more real time, and have greater metrics that can be used by decision makers to make decisions and implement actions and also prioritize what we're working on. Next slide. So now I'd love to open it up for any questions or comments.
Thank you very much, Devin. Well done. Let's go to APC members. Questions, comments. You can send me a chat or feel free to unmute yourself and speak up.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Jason Drew. Devin, appreciate the presentation. Congratulations on your new role. As you move on, who's going to take the torch and be moving this forward for the agency?
Yeah, so this is still very much a priority for the agency. We've been working on a job description to backfill my position, and I have handed some of the climate change stuff off to another planner in our long-range department, Rebecca Cremine. She's leading the greenhouse gas inventory, and we'll be working on some of the electric vehicle stuff that I was, but we will be working and prioritizing getting my position backfilled.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Same question. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Devin, again, congratulations on your new position with the tribe. I think I mentioned to you, and I'll put my hat on now as CEO of Tahoe Chamber, at the local level, the chamber did submit a comment letter on the city's climate action plan proposal. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, but there are some things to be concerned about. And I'm principally talking about, for the time we have available this morning, the electrification of all buildings and electrification of all, you know, utilities inside buildings. So in other words, how many people like to really cook at home or in a restaurant with an electric stove? And so there are a lot of issues at the local level that are of concern, as we all certainly agree that there are climate change impacts. But I just wanted to raise that issue today as part of this presentation that, you know, at the ground level, there are a lot of proposals being advanced that that we cannot support at this point in time, that being one of them. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's the real importance of having this bi-state climate strategy really re-kicked off so we can have these higher level basin conversations. And, you know, I think we've seen success with regional plan and area plans, regional transportation plan, corridor plans. We really are I think we have a lot of success when, as a partnership, we set high-level basin goals and priorities, and then allow local jurisdictions that flexibility. In terms of building electrification, I think that we should absolutely be making efforts to electrify more of our buildings, but I don't think electrifying everything is feasible. I think there's a lot of equity issues, especially with our high percentage of renters. They don't have the incentive or the money to convert or be forced to convert their rentals. So I do think, an array of solutions, including switching to more renewable sources of natural gas, which could come from our landfills, is a viable solution that needs to still be on the table.
Thank you, Devin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Steve. Other APC members?
Hi, this is Crystal Jacobson. Hi, Devin. Nice presentation. I actually worked on the sustainability plan that we did for Placer, which was adopted early this year. I'm just curious on the greenhouse gas emissions inventory that you said is underway, what the baseline year is for that?
So the original one was done in 2013 with a baseline of 2005 and 2010. This will be adding 2015 and 2018.
Great, thank you.
Other Other member comments, questions? Devin, can you give us a timeline on when you think this new bi-state or bi, what did you call it?
The bi-state strategy
will be completed?
Yeah, obviously COVID, changed things around and shuffled priorities and budgets. But the real critical path is that greenhouse gas inventory, which will be done sometime in spring of next year. I think the current timeline is shooting for April. So once we have that, we'll be able to know where our emissions are coming from, what changed from the last time, and that will allow us to identify those priorities. So from between now and April, we want to start engaging stakeholders, getting them, I don't know, necessarily buy-in on the greenhouse gas inventory. It's a pretty straightforward process, but making sure that they're aware of what's going on. They know the results, and then we kick off into that update, which could, take, I think we have it through next, in our work program, through the end of fiscal year 2021. Obviously, we do not want to just wait for this plan to come, because we do know that climate action is happening now, and we are still continuing to do a lot of implementation around the electric vehicles, and we've started identifying also several code updates that could be made at a TRPA level to increase sustainability if there's a desire for those and staff capacity. So we want to balance, getting the plan right and getting the priorities right, but not sitting on our hands waiting for that to be done to act.
Yeah, makes sense. What on the stakeholder engagement, do you have any sense on what TRPA will be asking of partners like those around the table for engagement for producing the plan? I know when we, many of us participated in CTC's climate adaptation process and got into some pretty long full-day workshops and things, which were great. I just wonder if TRPA is anticipating things like that, or if you've given any thought to that.
Yeah, we're still mapping that out. I think it will be a conversation among our partners. I think prior to COVID, I would have wanted something that was more in-depth and more time-consuming, but everyone is very short-staffed right now and has a lot going on. So I think as COVID evolves, but I do imagine it being, if you're looking at the public participation spectrum, sort of farther to the right of more involvement. But given COVID, I think we'll have to, be flexible with that and still being able to achieve our goals. Through the greenhouse gas inventory, we really have the basic inventory of our emissions. We don't need a lot of involvement from stakeholders there because it's pretty straightforward data gathering, number crunching. We have set up a technical advisory committee of select stakeholders for the carbon sequestration part, because that is a little bit more of a cutting edge science and modeling and analysis. So we are getting deeper stakeholder engagement for that piece of the inventory, because we have recognized that there was a lot that needed. And that's having participation from the Conservancy, CAL FIRE, I think Nevada Forestry through NDSL.
Okay. Are you using some of the Turk scientists as well? Just keep some of the work local and for some of the climate model downscaling and some of those things they've been working on?
Yeah, so the climate model downscaling I know is going through Mike Dettinger, who's at DRI, which is a member of the Science Council. We were just having some conversations actually with John Hester last week about Science Council climate questions that they could help with. And then the greenhouse gas inventory itself is being completed by Sierra Business Council. And then the carbon sequestration calculations are being done by SIG, which is, as you know, is a local based company here in South Shore.
Good. Good to hear. Thank you, Devin. Anyone else from APC? Questions, comments? Okay, let me move to public comment on this item. So again, to participate in this meeting, please go to trpa.org. Under the announcements header, click on Advisory Planning Commission Meeting, October 14, 2020. There you'll find a link to the public webinar hosted on GoToWebinar. If any member of the public wishes to address the APC, please use the hand-raising function now. and you'll be unmuted by a TRPA staff member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Robert Larson, I've unmuted you. You can go ahead and address the APC.
Good morning. For the record, Bob Larson, I'm the program officer with the Ottawa Science Advisory Council. And just weighing in on the most recent question regarding the involvement of local scientists, just wanted to note that I am working both with TRPA and the Conservancy to get Science Council engagement on both the projects that were recently discussed, the carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas emissions project, as well as the downscale modeling project. Again, we're looking to get the council in an informal consultation just to get feedback on the approach and the direction of those projects and try to provide some value add to ensure that those projects are on the right track using good methods, and then also that those products are going to be most valuable both for the scientists and our implementing partners. So again, just want to confirm that the council is engaged and that we're looking forward to working with our partners on this.
Thank you, Bob. Good to hear from you.
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Great, thank you very much. I'll go ahead and close the public comment period. I'm assuming no APC members have further comments. So Devin, again, thank you very much. We wish you the best in the future and don't be a stranger.
Thank you all.
All right, take care. Okay, on to item 6 of our agenda, which is our public hearing. Item 6A is on the draft tourist core area plan amendments in the city of South Lake Tahoe. This is to amend the TCPA Tourist Center Gateway Zoning District / Town Center to add approximately 18 acres or 49 parcels currently located within the Bijou Al Tahoe Community Plan and Town Center. The TRPA staff report can be found on page 3 of your packet. And I'm going to turn this over to Jen Self with TRPA to begin this presentation.
Great. Hi, Jen. Thank you, Mr. Hi, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the APC. Thank you for having us. For the record, I'm Jennifer Self. I'm the Acting Principal Planner and Long Range Planning Program Manager at TRPA. And we also have Candace Stowell of the City of South Lake Tahoe and John Hitchcock of the City of South Lake Tahoe with us today. And they're going to be joining in on this presentation. The key purpose of the presentation today is for your consideration of recommended approval of this amendment package to the TRPA Governing Board for their final approval and consideration. There will be two motions that you all will need to take at the end of the presentation after comment and questions. This item was originally on your calendar for August. TRPA staff and city staff decided to postpone because the amendment package was still going through the approval process at the city level. So that has now been completed. The city has approved this amendment package. And this was heard at RPIC last month, and RPIC did recommend approval to Governing Board for this. So we're here today to present to you of what this package actually includes. I'm going to provide a high-level overview and then turn it over to Candace, and she's going to go into a few more of the details. So this amendment package was initiated in 2018 by private property owners, the Tahoe Beach Retreat and Lakeshore Lodge, and the city is serving as the lead agency. The amendments have gone through a really robust public process through CEQA and again has been approved at the city level as well. And then based on the conversation today, this would be before the Governing Board later this month, so fairly soon. So high-level overview of the Tourist Core Area Plan. This was originally approved by TRPA in the city in 2013. It includes primarily tourist, commercial, and retail uses all along the Highway 50 corridor. It extends from State Line to the Bijou Golf Course and extends down Ski Run Boulevard, as shown on the map there. Next slide. The area that we're going to be discussing today is located just west of the area plan's Tourist Center Gateway District. This is north or lakeward of Highway 50 and just north of the Safeway grocery store, to give you some reference there. And this is within an existing town center. So there's no changes to the town center boundary being proposed. And that town center boundary is shown in red on the screen. Next slide. This particular area includes tourist, commercial, and retail uses. There are a few single family homes along the lakeshore. Businesses here include the Beach Retreat and Conference Center, Lakeshore Lodge, Hotel Elevation. There are several restaurants, the CVS at Bijou Marketplace, the Wellness Co-op, and then a few other retail and commercial services. The area also includes Connolly Public Beach. This is owned by the City of South Lake Tahoe and Timber Cove Pier. Next slide. Real quick, I want to highlight some of the really notable public investment projects. These are environmental improvement projects that have been completed over the last couple of years. A big project was completed in 2014. This is a Bijou area-wide erosion control project. The El Dorado Beach to Ski Run multi-use trail that is very popular within the city, and it won a Best in Basin nomination in 2018. And then also in the lower right corner, just showing the El Dorado Social Services Building located near the Safeway grocery store. El Dorado County does have plans to redevelop that building in the future. Next slide. A few other notable projects. In Devin's presentation earlier this morning, he showed the extensive erosion control project that CTC has completed on the Altamira site. These photos on the left-hand side of the screen show before and after of that site at the street level, taking out that legacy development, restoring that site, and then future plans to have a community gathering space and viewing area for that site. CTC also has a planned public access project on the chimney parcel located on the map there. And this parcel was acquired through a land swap during the development of the Sierra Shores timeshare units. In the land swap agreement that was put in place years ago, was to improve an informal public access. There's now a social trail that goes through there to access Connolly Beach. And during that land swap, there was an agreement to formalize that public access. So we wanted to highlight some of these public projects that have occurred or that are planned in the future, but it should be noted, these are just to highlight that and they're not part of this amendment package. So let's go on to the next slide. So that was some of the public investment that's occurred. The purpose of this amendment package is to really try to encourage the future private investment in this area. So again, it was initiated by the Beach Retreat and Lakeshore Lodge. And the intent is to ensure this existing town center has all the incentives in place available through the regional plan that will help encourage redevelopment of this aging and overcovered town center. So according to the applicant, all of the incentives in the regional plan that could be available through this amendment package is really the key to making sure future projects can be financially feasible. The Beach Retreat and several other property owners in the amendment area, they have been considering redevelopment opportunities, but we do not have a project application in at this time. So again, this package is for amendments to the area plan and not necessarily a project approval. Next slide. So a high-level summary of what this amendment package is. The first, as Brendan mentioned at the beginning of this, is to expand the Tourist Core Gateway Zoning District westward to include 49 parcels or 18 acres. Again, that's in an existing town center. It would also amend the permissible uses within the tourist core to carry over allowable uses from the community plan, which this area is within now. And then it would also increase the maximum height in the amendment area from 42 to 56 feet. And this aligns with TRPA's maximum height for town centers. And then there's a few other general administrative revisions. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Candace Stowell, and she's going to talk through a few more of these amendments in more detail.
Thank you, Jen. Next slide, please. Again, this is Candace Stowell with the City of South Lake Tahoe Planning Division. So again, this map shows what you've just seen before, the proposed amendment area. Next slide, please. And this just gives you another perspective on all the different properties that are in the proposed amendment area. Again, starting on the boundary up against Lakeland Village, you've got the Lakeshore Lodge, Heidi's Pancake, Hotel Elevation used to be Howard Johnson's, the Bijou Center with CVS Pharmacy, the Tahoe Wellness Center, some multifamily and commercial in the back of Bijou Center, as well as the single family properties along Balbijou Road. And then lastly, with the Beach Retreat property right up against the boundary there. Again, this is approximately 18 acres with 49 different parcels. Next slide, please. We'll walk through the specifics now with this proposed amendment. In terms of multifamily development, the proposed amendment would allow multifamily development to increase from the current standard within the Bijou El Tahoe Community Plan District 1 to go from 15 to 25 dwelling units per acre, which is consistent with the existing gateway zoning district in the tourist core area plan. In relation to tourist uses, all kinds of tourist uses would be allowed the maximum density of 40 units per acre in this proposed special area number 1. Again, that is consistent with the existing development standards within the gateway zoning district of the tourist core area plan. The one specific call out here is that in terms of mixed use density, the maximum would be 40 units per acre in this special area number 1 of the gateway zoning district. Unlike the rest of the zoning districts within the tourist core area plan, which would allow a maximum mixed use density, residential, commercial, of up to 65 units per acre, the proposed amendment would cap this at 40 units. So this special area 1 would only be allowed a maximum density for mixed use projects of 40 units per acre. Next slide, please. In terms of the height, currently the Gateway Zoning District has a maximum height of 42 feet. The proposed amendment would allow that to increase from 42 to 56 feet for uses other than single family dwellings. So the height would not change for single family, but for non-residential, non-single family, it would be allowed to go up to 56 feet, which again is consistent with the other zoning districts within the tourist core area plan, with most of the zoning districts, put it that way. Next slide, please. As Jen mentioned, most of the existing uses that are allowed by right or special use within the Bijou El Tahoe Community Plan District 1 would be carried over into this special area number 1 of the Gateway Zoning District to make sure that we are not creating non-conforming uses with this proposed amendment. The only uses that are not carried over into this proposed special area number 1 would be collection stations and local post offices. In addition, this proposed amendment would include the shore zone uses to carry those over from the previous state line ski run community plan, which were inadvertently left out of the tourist core area plan. So this is one of the more technical administrative changes to bring those shore zone uses into the tourist core area plan. And of course, this amendment area does go all the way to the lake. Next slide, please. This is another technical change in terms of the community noise equivalent level. The zoning district, all the zoning districts in the tourist core area plan, the noise standards would be lowered from 65 to 60, except for areas adjacent to US 50. this change would align the noise standards with the TRPA regional plan threshold standards. Next slide, please. In addition, there is a proposed amendment to the implementation strategies in the Tourist Core Area Plan. The implementation strategies related to recreation would include new language, a new implementation strategy to support the California Tile Conservancy in its efforts to implement the Connolly Beach Public Access Project located west of the Beach Retreat Dorsal to provide a second access to Connolly Beach in addition to Timber Cove. Next slide, please. Again, in terms of the environmental analysis, the city and TRPA went through the public process for the joint environmental document. The applicants hired an environmental consultant to prepare the draft joint environmental document. This was initial study negative declaration, as well as the initial environmental checklist and FONSI. It was sent with a notice of completion to the California State Clearinghouse for distribution to state and regional agencies. The comment period closed on July 6th, the 30-day comment period, and no comments were received. The environmental documents went to Planning Commission for presentation in June, with the actual public hearing on the environmental analysis environmental document on July 16th. The Planning Commission adopted Resolution 2020-15, recommending City Council also approve the environmental documents for this proposed amendment. Next slide, please. This is just an overview of the public review process. This has been a two-year review process, public process for this proposed amendment. It began in July of 2018 with the scoping workshop. Continued on with the first meeting, informational meeting with the TRPA RPIC in June of last year. And then the public process continued on this year, beginning in June of this year with presentation of Planning Commission. The Planning Commission public hearing on the proposed amendment, which is actually an ordinance amendment to city code for this amendment to the Tourist Core Area Plan in July. Moving on to the City Council, first reading and second reading in August and September of this year. As Jen mentioned, to TRPA RPIC on the 30th of September, and then here we are today on October 14th with the APC. And I believe that is the last slide for my part. Hand it back to Jen.
Thank you, Candace, for that overview. So one of the motions before you today will be, does this amendment package conform or is in compliance with the regional plan? In order to make those findings and go through that review process, the lead agency, the city, and the applicant have submitted all five of the documents listed here on the screen. These are included in your amendment package, but it's a pretty robust package. And so I just wanted to spend a few more minutes to go over some of the key elements that are within this conformance review process. Let's go on to the next slide. And these are some of the key topic areas that TRPA staff and legal really honed in on and when we were reviewing this project for conformance to the regional plan. Next slide. The first is water quality and land coverage. So the TRPA code does allow 70% of land coverage within area plans on high capability land. This is not something that would have been allowed in the community plan. As you can see from the aerial photo here of the amendment area, we're looking down at the beach retreat and then the CVS shopping center and some of the hotels and retail businesses. Most of the parcels are actually already exceed 90% land coverage because they were built prior to our land coverage regulation. And as a whole, overall, this area averages about 80% land coverage. So it's already above and beyond that 70% that would be allowed in an area plan. And given the existing coverage and the land capability, there would not be the creation of new coverage within this amendment area. In fact, we're actually likely to see a reduction of land coverage once these properties are developed, because they're going to have to come into modern design standards. So the appropriate setbacks, having landscaping, the appropriate BMPs, things like that, curb and gutters, that would actually reduce the land coverage on a lot of these parcels. There's also the benefit for additional mitigation of excess coverage on site. So with future development, they're going to have to either further reduce land coverage or mitigate that through fees. Let's go on to the next slide. The next area that we really paid close attention to was the density. So the amendments control potential density by creating a special district. So it's this particular area will be included in the TCAP Gateway Zoning District, but it's created as a special district with specialized density allowances. Today, the area is fully developed at, over, or actually near the density levels that would be allowed. And so therefore, there's not a potential for significant density increases. And consistent with the regional plan, individual redevelopment projects that would generate an increase of over 200 daily vehicle trips or more would be required to do that additional traffic analysis once they come in for that project approval. The amendment package proposal also places a cap on mixed-use density for the special area. Candace highlighted this. While the regional plan potentially allows up to 65 units an acre for mixed use within area plans, this special area would be maxed at a cap of 40 units per acre. Let's go on to the next slide. The next area that we looked at was scenic. So much of the development predates the Bijou Altajo Community Plan. The scenic roadway unit shown in red there is currently out of attainment, and this is due to the lack of landscaping. You can see in the picture below there, just the building design aesthetics, the signage, things like that. And again, any future development is going to need to come up to those more modern design standards, and so we're likely to see a great improvement once these properties are developed in that scenic attainment. Let's go on to the next slide. So the photo on the previous was showing a view on the east side of the amendment area. This is showing the beach retreat property closer to the west side. Again, looking at kind of scenic qualities that exist there today. Next slide. The next area regional plan conformance that we looked at was the height. So increasing the permissible height in the amendment area is really the key driver from the project applicant's perspective. So we mentioned the density is pretty much near where they would be allowed today. The coverage is kind of maxed out. This allowable height is really the key driver for this amendment package. And the increased height would allow an additional story from what was approved in the community plan, and that would go from 3 to 4 stories. And the proposed amendment would include increasing the allowable height for the Tourist Core Gateway District, Special Area 1, and that's shown in the hashed pinked area. This height does align with the regional plan incentives for redevelopment. So the TRPA code does allow this maximum height of 56 feet for all town centers. And so it's just aligning what could be allowed here with the regional plan. And let's go on to the next slide. Similar to just continuing the conversation with height, TRPA requires that structures that would go up to this max of 56 feet in town centers to meet the 4 height findings shown on your screen. So this would be during the project review. And these findings ensure that that additional height does not dominate views, particularly within the shoreline, that the building is appropriately screened from public views, and it minimizes the interference of, you know, existing views and the existing development that is there today. If the findings that is shown here on the screen, if those can't be made, then the additional height cannot be approved. And let's go on to the next slide. The last area here that we really paid close attention to with this amendment package was recreation. We wanted to make sure that the redevelopment incentives would not inadvertently impact any of the public access to the lake. You mentioned there's Connolly Beach that's owned by the city and then also Timber Cove Pier. There are a number of existing recreation sites and bike routes and trails within the entire area plan. That's what's shown on the map on your screen. And these were previously adopted with the area plan in 2013. And there's no changes to any of those existing facilities at all. Next slide. So just to wrap up, and then we'll turn it back over to you for comment and discussion. TRPA staff has found that the proposed amendments help to further the goals of policies of the regional plan, specifically to encourage private investment within our town center. We highlighted some of those public investment projects that have occurred. Now we want to really make sure that the incentives are in place to see some of that private investment within this aging town center. And so that is the end of our presentation. I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair, for any comments or questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Jen and Candace. Very informative. Okay, this is our time, APC members, to get involved and ask questions, provide comments. So go ahead, send me a chat or unmute yourself and speak up.
Yeah, thank you, Brendan. This is Crystal Jacobson. I had a question about the scenic provisions. You indicated that there was no net loss of views, was that one of the findings? I'm just curious if going up to that 56 feet on the lakeside, if there are any provisions to improve view sheds as part of this plan or part of the amendment package.
Sure, I'll go ahead and let Candace or John Hitchcock at the city answer that.
I think with any redevelopment project, again, we don't have any redevelopment projects submitted at this time, but any redevelopment project that happens along the shore zone is going to be a dramatic improvement because it'll have to be in conformance with the current tourist core area plan standards. And also because it's on the shore zone, TRPA will be doing the permitting for any redevelopment project along the shore zone. So in terms of the scenic improvements that will happen with any redevelopment, I think it'll without any doubt will be significant. And I don't know if John would like to add in there any comments.
Yes, this is John Hitchcock. I agree with Candace. Any potential improvements, we would be working with applicant closely to ensure that we get scenic improvements and opportunities to open up viewshed corridors to the lake. And as kind of talked to, the project will be subject to the visual magnitude system from the lakeside and the TRP review that that would require applicants to really look into architectural design articulations to ensure that the project meets TRPA's visual magnitude and contrast rating system.
Thank you.
Thanks, Crystal.
This is John again. I'd like to thank Jennifer and Candace for the hard work they've been doing this project. This is amendments been 2 years in the process. We received a lot of input. From the city's perspective, this is an important amendment. As Jennifer pointed out in her presentation, there's been a lot of public improvements in this area from the state as well as from the city, the erosion control projects, the sidewalks and the bike trails. And this amendment will really help us create incentives for the environment, for environmental improvements from the private sector side. So from a city perspective, we think this amendment is very important and will provide an opportunity for us to create major improvements in this particular district. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Other APC members?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Steve.
Deep to share. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've attended all of the hearings on this as it has evolved the past couple of years through the process. As one of the five people at the public meeting, back when we used to have in-person public meetings, that's referenced on the staff report, page 5, July of 2018. And I've heard all the different perspectives and encourage my fellow APC colleagues to advance this forward to the governing board. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Mr. Chair, it's Tim Calicrate. I just like to extend huge gratitude to all those that have worked on this over the last several years. I'm a 35-year member up here in North Shore, and we are grappling with much less activity, but it seems like it's taking forever for us to get to that point that you all are achieving at South Lake. But it's nice to see that you're tackling this head on and going to really make a difference. I just wanted to say, you know, as a colleague on the north end of the lake, thank you, because it's long overdue, and I hope that we can finally get there in our little neck of the woods.
Thanks, Tim. Any other APC member comments? I just had a couple quick things. I see that this is expanding the tourist core area plan into the Bijou Altajo community plan, which I think is a 1995 approved plan that, you know, in my opinion, has some outdated design standards, et cetera. Did the city consider, you know, expanding farther into the Bijou Altajo community plan with this amendment? I know it was developer driven, and so perhaps you just stopped at parcels that were interested in participating, but can you expand on why the boundary was fixed where it was and did not expand farther into the community plan?
Sure, absolutely. I'll let Candace and John speak to that first and then chime in if there's anything else from our perspective.
Yes, I think. Go ahead, John.
Chairman. The boundary line stopped there was basically because it's developer driven, and from the city's perspective, we will be at some point here in the future looking at updating the BGL Tower Committee plan into an area plan, and so we thought it was best that we looked at that process separately.
Okay. Any update on timing on that, John?
There's been discussions internally with the city manager. We don't really have a timeline now, but with the 56-acre master plan process kind of being kicked off, you know, something may have to happen sooner than later.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons for my question, that 56-acre project and also our El Dorado County Center, which Jen showed on the slide, is in the Bijou Altajo Community Plan.
Correct.
I think we're gonna run up against some potential design challenges with that project. So I'm very interested in that amendment process. So any updates are appreciated. Thank you for that. I was also wondering, you know, you said there's no project that you're aware of following these amendments, but are you hearing rumblings of, I'm assuming these amendments are taking place so that projects can follow, and I totally agree that updates are sorely needed in that particular section of South Lake Tahoe. Can you give us any insight into what may be coming, or is that all just still pending?
Sure. We've definitely heard that there is strong interest in redevelopment within this amendment area. You know, like I mentioned, this was really brought forward by the Beach Retreat and Lakeshore Lodge that is right on the shoreline there. We presented this as an informational item to the TRPA Regional Plan Implementation Committee in 2019. And at that time, the property owner of Hotel Elevation right next to Heidi's along the highway was also interested in, you know, how potential incentives could help him redevelop his property. So there's definitely rumblings and discussions. We just don't have an official project application in the door yet.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume we have no more APC member comments. I'll give everyone a chance here at the end to make additional comments if they come up. But I am going to move on to public comment on this item. So once again, I'm going to say to participate in the meeting, go to trpa.org under the announcements header, click on APC meeting, October 14, 2020. There you'll find a link to the public webinar. And if any member of the public wishes to address the Advisory Planning Commission, please use the hand-raising function now, and you'll be unmuted by a TRPA staff member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to give it a few more seconds to make sure the members of the public have time to raise their hands. That raise hand button is underneath your red microphone button if anyone does wish to address the APC.
Mr. Chair, this is Lou Feldman. Can you hear me?
Yes, Lou.
I'm going to say good morning. I'm appearing on behalf of the applicants, the Beach Retreat and the Lakeshore Lodge, and certainly want to express our gratitude to Jen Self and Candace Stoll, who I think made an outstanding presentation. And that aerial photograph in particular just says, redevelop me, redevelop me. And in response to your question about, you know, is there something in the hopper? The answer is, until this amendment is approved, it's not prudent to invest the dollars in the design phase. So the critical path is to get through the TCAP amendment, and then the applicants that have sponsored this journey are certainly intending to pursue redevelopment of their projects. So this is the critical step forward. Just one minor point of clarification. Connolly Beach is subject to a public use easement in favor of the City of South Lake Tahoe. Connolly Beach is owned by the Beach Retreat. Other than that minor factual correction, we certainly encourage the APC to embrace the staff recommendation, which was supported by the Planning Commission, the City Council, and RPIC, and hopefully we'll advance this to the Governing Board and bring our almost 2.5-year journey to a conclusion. I'd be pleased to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Lou, for that.
And Mr. Chair, we have no hands raised to make further public comment.
All right, thank you, Catherine. Appreciate it. So let's go back to APC members. Has this sparked any additional comment question from any of you? Okay, hearing none. We do have two motions to make in order to move this item forward to the Governing Board. I'm happy to entertain those motions now if anyone would like to make them.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is John Hitchcock. I would be my pleasure to make the motion.
Thanks, John.
Make a motion to recommend Governing Board approval of the required findings, including a finding of no significant effect for adoption of draft amendments to the Tourist Quarry Plan and BGO Tower Community Plan as provided in Attachment C.
Thank you, John. We have a motion. Anyone care to second that?
Seconded, Jason Drew.
Thank you, Mr. Drew. Any further discussion? Okay, I'll pass this over to Maria for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Alling?
Aye.
Mr. Drake? Mr. Booth? Mr. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. Calicrate?
Yes.
Mr. Grego? Ms. Carr?
Yes.
Ms. Jacobson?
Yes.
Mr. Gabon?
Yes.
Mr. Letton? Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Hitchcock?
Yes.
Mr. Plemmel?
Aye.
Mr. Smokey? Ms. Stoller?
Aye.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Mr. Ferry?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, members. John, would you like to do the second motion as well?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to recommend Governing Board adoption of Ordinance 2020-2020. To be determined, amending Ordinance 2020-03, as previously amended, to amend the Tourist Core Area Plan and the BGL Tile Committee Plan to include the changes referenced in Attachment B.
Thank you, John.
Second from Jason.
Thank you, Jason. We've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, Maria, another roll call vote, please.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Smoky? Ms. Stoller?
Aye.
Mr. Hitchcock?
Yes.
Mr. Plummel?
Yes.
Mr. Letton? Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Jacobson?
Yes.
Mr. Gavon?
Yes.
Mr. Grego? Ms. Carr?
Yes.
Mr. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. Calicrate?
Yes.
Mr. Drake? Mr. Booth? Mr. Alling?
Aye.
Mr. Ferry?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you, Maria. And thank you again to Jen and Candace for the great presentation. Congratulations to the city and the applicants on moving forward. Thank you for your time. That wraps up item 6. Let's go on to item 7, which is our reports. I'm going to pass this over to John Hester for the Executive Director report and any upcoming topics.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to point out that your next meeting is on the 12th, which is a Thursday because of Veterans Day. And before that, tentatively scheduled on the 4th is the Housing and Community Redevelopment Working Group that the APC is sponsoring. Some of you, your members, are on that. So those are the two upcoming dates. We have a lot of items in process for the APC. I'm not sure exactly which ones, but I know Jen Self and her group are busy with some code amendments and area plan amendments. I do know if we have enough items in addition to the Main Street Management Plan, which will be an info item, we'll have that meeting on the 12th, and we'll get back to you since we have more items lined out. So with that, that's all I have for the Executive Director's report, unless there are any questions.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John? Okay, I will now go to the other John. Mr. Marshall, do you have any legal counsel report?
Yes, I do. First, Mr. Chair, I would like to compliment you on your smoke machine behind you. Is that either Halloween or is it an Eddie Van Halen tribute?
A little bit of both. My wife set the ambiance in the room this morning. It's a large humidifier.
Oh, okay.
It does. It looks interesting back there. Yes.
We've had, you know, for the first time in a long time, we actually have more than one piece of litigation going on. And as you all are aware, the Garmong cell tower litigation is just kind of sitting in the district court in Reno, awaiting a decision on another motion to dismiss, a never-ending case, unfortunately. We recently, and I think I alerted the APC this, pursued by a couple of landowners over on Ganawabi over a boundary line adjustment that facilitated some development there. The board recently heard and continued to this month an appeal of the two single family dwelling applications that came after the boundary line adjustment. That'll be heard finally at this month's board meeting, and we may then have an amended complaint challenging those. That is proceeding in federal district court in Reno. If you want any more details or any of the pleadings, please just send me an email and I'll forward it off to you. The last piece of litigation we have going is an enforcement matter that the governing board approved a couple months ago about against a corporate LLC called Mountain Addiction and Justin Chief for unauthorized tree cutting to facilitate a snow cat and snowmobile path across CTC land. And we've been unable to settle that one as we usually are able to with these enforcement matters. So we filed suit in Sacramento in federal court seeking a assessment of civil penalties. Mount Addiction filed a cross claim against CTC for the right to use the property to access various trails with snow machines. And we moved to dismiss that claim. So that again is also in litigation. So the end of the story is avoid litigation if you can. And that's it. I can take any questions. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Any questions for John?
This is Jennifer. I actually do have a question, not about the litigation, but about the last meeting where we had considered and amended the motions for amendments to the TRPA Code of Ordinance for veg management and forest health. And I was looking to figure out how Nevada's process fit into that. And I know our motions allowed staff to fix that or figure it out or amend it, whatever, between APC and governing board. But I understand it never made it to governing board. And for that, I kind of apologize. But I was just wondering what happened or what the plan is going forward to continue to keep that forest health and veg or forest veg management and forest health moving forward.
Yeah. So Jennifer, great question. And so what was in the code that was being proposed, by the forest fuels task force was to allow basically for TRPA to recognize when there's a Lahontan exception that that would also be available. And I think Jennifer, you made a good point that, well, maybe there's some process on the either NDEP or Department of Forestry side on Nevada that we should also look to try to incorporate. And when we looked at that, it was going to require additional environmental work because there was no underlying, kind of CEQA-like document that we could rely on as there would be with a Lahontan waiver. And so rather than try to, rather than slow down all the amendments, we kind of took the Lahontan piece out and we're going to be continuing to work on that. I think, Kat will be looking at that with a committee and hopefully bringing something back, perhaps when we look to amend, do some substantive amendments with the Lake Tahoe West matter. So that's kind of where we're looking right now, but we didn't have an easy fix for you. So we're sorry about that. But if you have any further questions, we can either talk offline or I can answer them.
No, that's helpful. Thank you.
Anything else for John? Great. Thank you so much, John. Okay, let's go to reports from APC members. I think I will start with Ms. Jacobson. I neglected at the beginning of our meeting to welcome Crystal formally to the APC. She has replaced Steve Wellna for Placer County. We did have a pre-meeting before APC with Crystal just to bring her up to speed. So Crystal, we typically go around and get any updates from members. So if you have anything to share with the group, or if you just want to say hi, I'm sure everyone would love to hear from you.
Great, thank you. I'm excited about the opportunity to sit on the APC, and so thank you for that. Welcome. I do have a number of items, four items or so that I'd like to share. The first is that our board, as part of our kind of business recovery effort for the COVID crisis, our board extended what is an urgency ordinance for outdoor dining. So this does apply to the Tahoe Basin area, basically allows businesses to put up outdoor dining in their parking areas. They do have to go through a permit process to do that. But just a heads up that our board extended that ordinance for another year. In the winter months, we expect to see a lot of tents pop up. And so we're working really closely with the fire district on necessary permitting and conditioning of those tents spaces. I also wanted to point out on October 27th, our board's going to be in Tahoe. It's going to be the first in-person hearing in Tahoe since the COVID crisis hit. There are two items that are noteworthy that are going before our board on that date. One is the Resort Triangle Transportation Plan, which is a plan that has been led by our Department of Public Works along with CDRA. And that is going to the board for adoption. And I just wanted to point out that one of the pieces of that plan or component is a parking management program. And so if the RTTP is adopted on the 27th, we are going to launch into a parking management program work effort here in the basin. And we're looking at paid parking in our town centers, kind of exploring a work program around that. In addition, we also have a workforce housing preservation program that's going to the board on the 27th for kind of an initial adoption by our board. We will come back after the first of the year for basically adoption of the implementation or the guidelines to that program. But what it does, it's a preservation program. It's an Indeed program modeled after Vail Indeed program. I think they perhaps have given a presentation to the TRPA governing board at one time. So we're excited to see that. It's really trying to preserve our housing stock for the workforce. And then in addition, we've got just noting that we're going to have our own amendments to the Tahoe Basin Area Plan come forward to your commission soon. I would say right now they're kind of making their way through the Placer County process, targeting a hearing before our commission, Placer County Planning Commission, in November, and then to our board in December. So sometime in January, I would expect to see those amendments come before your commission. That's all I have.
Great. Good updates.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is Tim Calicrate from North Shore, Washoe County. It was brought to my attention by a resident here who was listening and participating in the meeting on Monday about the, I call the water taxis. I'm paraphrasing quite a bit. One thing that was brought up was the mention that Incline Village would be a stop, but since we don't have a public pier, that would be problematic. And the comment was made that that's okay, we'll work with the HOA. So I just wanted to clarify that, you know, Incline Village is not an HOA and doesn't have an HOA as the governing oversight for the community. And the only potential stop might be the Hyatt Pier, but since that's a private pier, that could be problematic as well. So I just wanted to jump in on that so that if there's any confusion about, you know, Incline Village, that could be taken care of right away, because we don't have any public access to any of our beaches.
Thank you, Tim. Anything else on update, Tim, or are you good?
We're good so far. I mean, I don't have anything else to add from Washoe. Well, excuse me, I do. Washoe County will be revisiting the short-term rental rules and regulations. That's been quite an issue here in Incline and Crystal Bay, as I'm sure it has been throughout the entire basin. And so the county commissioners will be revisiting that, I believe. I want to say it's this week. I apologize. I don't have the exact date. But we are in the process of trying to get a better handle on our short-term rental situation here in Incline and Crystal Bay.
Great.
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. How about Mr. Alling?
Nothing at this point in time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Garth. How about Mr. Drew?
Good morning. I don't have an update, but I did have a question for John. Given the presentation we heard earlier on the sustainability plan, one of the items that we talked about earlier this year was related to the process that came forward with regards to existing utilities within the backshore. And I'm just wondering, has there been any further discussions related to that particular issue, or is that something that we'll bring back around and have another discussion about?
Yes, it's, well, two things that I think will answer your question. You may have seen where Devin was talking about some lake level modeling. And so we anticipate that will be kind of base information as we talk to the different utilities and look at the transportation system. My understanding, and I don't know a lot of detail about this, is my understanding is STPUD has already started looking at the vulnerability of their facilities given different lake levels, but I don't know much detail about that. That's just what Devin told me. So the bottom line is the concern you brought up earlier this year, I think is going to get a lot of good attention through the process.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Jason. Let's see. I think Mr. Grego is not on. So Mr. Gavon.
I think I'm unmuted now. Is that correct?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, very good. A lot going on for the fire districts. Very active fire season. We're continuing to see the fuels are very responsive to the flame and carrying fire. So we'll probably continue the basin ban into November. That's what it looks like. So right now there's a ban, as maybe many of you know, on any fire, the solid fuel. So charcoal and firewood is for outside burning has been banned. Of course, they can use their fireplaces, but not outdoors. Chief Baker has announced his retirement for our district, so that's going to be a big change for us. And we also have Assistant Chief Moss will be retiring this month. So two positions down. We did promote an assistant chief, and we will be hiring a chief position as well. So a lot of activity there. Been pretty active with the restaurants and outdoor dining to facilitate for the COVID. Just as Southlake mentioned, we're looking at tents and some other stuff coming in the coming months as it cools down. So those are some of the things we're looking at for permitting. Let's see. Working with Steve Teixeira, the fire districts are concerned and want to have input on the transportation plan that's going forward for reasons of evacuation and access as well. So that's newer for us. A lot of times, well, I guess in the past have been a little bit silent in that. And so we're trying to incorporate the fire concerns with the transportation plan and evacuation. So that'll be good. going forward. Our STRs for Douglas County, it's a short-term rental program, vacation home rental program, is going to go before our county board on tomorrow, Thursday. So it'll be at our Board of County Commissioners to adopt or have recommendations on the new proposals for ordinances. And so that's moving forward too. And I think that will conclude my report.
Thank you, Eric. Mr. Hill?
Nothing today, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Mr. Plemmel?
Yeah, hit the button real quick. Oh, no, thank you. Thanks, good. Thanks for the meeting. Thanks for running.
Thanks, Lee. Mr. Hitchcock? Let's see, still there, John?
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
There you go.
We have a few things. The City Council will be considering a hosted rental ordinance on Tuesday. That's those are rentals of where you're renting out partially your home, and then the tenant or the homeowner also lives on site. That'll be considered on Tuesday. We have two important public workshops. They're coming up in the next couple weeks. On the 21st, it'll be our first public kickoff meeting for the redevelopment of the recreation center. And on the 27th, we have our first public workshop kickoff meeting for the 56-acre master plan project. And those will all be Zoom meetings. And with that, that's all I have.
Thanks, John. How about Ms. Stoller?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Yes, thank you. I do have a couple of items. The first item is that the Nevada Division of State Lands is considering an application for the tear down and rebuild and extension of a multi-use pier. This is at 10061008 Skyland Drive. The pier is within a small cove environment where there are four littoral property owners. And the application is pretty controversial. There are a lot of comments in opposition. And so for that reason, NDSL hosted a public hearing on the application to elicit additional comments and try to gather more information. And that was hosted on October 6th. NDSL has 30 days to make a final determination on the application whether to approve the multi-use pier rebuild. And so that is November 5th. I just wanted to mention it as I know that this project is also being considered by TRPA and I believe is planned to go to governing board in November, if I'm not mistaken. The second item is that NDSL is accepting applications for our water quality and erosion control grant. Our grant program is soliciting applications, and pre-applications will be received through November 13th, but full applications will be due January 29th. So if you know any agencies or other nonprofit organizations who want to submit applications, please direct them to our website. And then the final item is that while the state has been in a hiring freeze, we do have a couple of vacant positions that have received approval through a justification to fill process to backfill. And one of those positions is our NDSL forester, who manages our urban lot program. So we're really looking forward to filling that position, and we should have an announcement on the state's website here in the next couple of weeks. And those are my items.
Great, thanks, Ellery. How about Mr. Teixeira?
Nothing further this morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Young?
Hello, everyone. Regarding the bi-state climate action plan, I just want to say how much I've appreciated how much CRPA has reached out to me as local staff at Washoe County on housing and on transportation and on other issues lately. And so I'm sure they're going to do the same with this. There may not be an actual, committee or something set up, but I'm looking forward to TRPA staff reaching out to me to just keep me informed with what they're doing. I'm sure they'll do that. And I just wanted to let them know how much I appreciate it when they do. And on the other, on the public hearing item for the expansion, I didn't want to waste their time, but during the actual public hearing, but I want to let you know that we're hearing a lot of interest in private investment in Washoe County as well. There's on our end, it's about when are we going to adopt the area plan so that they can begin to adopt and implement the incentives. But from time to time, I talked to somebody on the phone who was just outside one of the boundaries, and they say, well, what do I do? And so I'm a little bit curious about how maybe all around the basin, there may be some spots that just, for lack of a better term, were overlooked. We didn't consider it. We didn't realize at the time that we were going to have to come back and do this. And I wonder if it's worth TRPA's time to do some sort of a scan or analysis around the basin of other places like this that we might expect to be coming forward soon. I hate to say it because we haven't even implemented our area plan yet, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see somebody in Washoe County say, I really want to take advantage of those incentives. Can you just move the line over a little bit for me? So that was my input on that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric. How about Vice Chair Carr?
I have nothing today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. I was just going to report one quick item myself. The El Dorado County Board of Supervisors did approve a pilot program out in the Myers area recently to implement right turn restrictions at two intersections. That's U.S. Highway 50 and Sawmill Road, and U.S. Highway 50 and North Upper Truckee Road, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sundays and holidays, starting May 2021 and going through until November 1st, 2021. This is in response to applications like Waze and other things that are directing tourists through local neighborhoods on these peak traffic weekends in order to try to get out of the basin faster and really just choking up all public roadways here in the Myers and South Shore area. And so it's kind of a safety project and really a what else can we do type project. We're going to pilot this coming year. We didn't want to implement it during snow removal months, so we are going to start in May. And I'm curious to see how it works. It is a bit of a double-edged sword because it applies to residents as well as visitors. But the hope is to keep traffic on the highway. And hopefully it will alert the apps that those are not accessible streets during those periods. So they will not direct tourists to go down those streets. So I'll report back once we know more on how that works. But it's kind of an interesting traffic strategy that we are attempting. And I think that's it for members. Thanks everyone for sharing. I'm going to go finally to item 8, which is public interest comments. So members of the public participating in our virtual meeting on their computers or phones, please raise your hand now to indicate that you wish to speak, and you'll be unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Just a reminder that the APC is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on our agenda. So, Catherine, anyone wishing to address us in this final agenda item?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to make public comment.
Great. With that, let's go to item 9, which is adjournment. Looks like I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Jennifer. Thanks, Jennifer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. I'm assuming no one's opposed. It is 11:10 and we are adjourned.